Okay. Now, I did send notes. Hopefully, you all got the notes. It's in the church group, and I sent it to some individuals. If you didn't get it, please let my wife know somehow. Send her a little message, and she'll try to forward that to you. So this is I titled it a Revelation Lesson 81, but we're really not going to jump into any revelation yet. What we're doing at this point, I'm spending a lot of time trying to make sure we're really prepared with some groundwork here so that there's no confusion once we get into some things we're going to come across when we get into starting in Revelation 7 and forward. So these are things that you may wonder, you know, why are we looking at these things? But it'll come clear to you. You'll be glad that we did this because it'll make it so much easier when we get to these parts that would otherwise be confusing. So we are working our way toward the seventh chapter of Revelation. We have finished the sixth chapter. We're trying to get to chapter seven, but I'm just, like I said, laying some groundwork here before we look at those witnesses who will be preaching for Jesus Christ during the time of the Great Tribulation. And we discussed 2 weeks ago what they will be preaching, what good news, what message they'll be proclaiming during that time of the Great Tribulation. And as part of that study, we pointed out that no one in any age, though God has dealt with man in different ways in different periods of time, we said that I showed you that no one's going to end up in heaven. No one will escape hellfire and the lake of fire that's to follow the white throne judgment apart from the grace of God, and that God's grace is imparted or imputed to those who put faith in God's revelation. Now, that revelation, it has differed from time to time. For example, God told Noah to build an ark. Noah believed God, and he built the ark. And then, by grace, God saved Noah and his household. God told Abraham to leave his homeland, leave his country. Abraham, he believed God, packed his bags, left his homeland. And then, by grace, God saved Abraham. And it runs that way all through the scriptures. In this day and age, the gospel message is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and on the third day, Jesus rose again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So if you, by faith, respond to that message, well, that won't save you. But God by his grace will save you, okay? When you have responded in faith to the message that God gave you. Okay, now that's true in a tribulation case. It's true in a millennial case. As long as there are sons of Adam on the earth, God sends his word to man. And when man believes the word that God has given him, God will save that man, that woman, by his grace. Now, there are those that teach, and we can't repeat everything that we talked about in the last two lessons. You can get that on our website if you've missed it. But there are those that misunderstand certain portions of the word of God regarding the Great Tribulation. Those passages that indicate that someone has to endure to the end of something to be saved from something. Okay? Well, being good Baptists and assuming that saved means born again and going to heaven, well, then there's only one conclusion you can draw, and that is that if you miss the rapture, you're going to have to do good deeds and live a good life if you want to be born again and go to heaven. The only trouble with that is if you take a look at those very passages, and we already have, but I did think I put them in your notes anyway. When you look at those passages, those who live the good life, those who do the good deeds during the tribulation, they're neither born again, nor do they go to heaven. They simply stay alive physically to go into the kingdom. Okay? And we made mention of this truth two or three times, that no one in any age, in any time period, can be saved from sin or can receive eternal life by doing good works. And I want to show you from the Bible today just exactly what God's word says about those who hope to get to heaven by keeping God's rules, God's regulations, and God's commandments. And this is very important. This is very important that we cover this now. I don't care if you go to the, you try this out. I don't, if you go to the poorest neighborhood that you know or the richest neighborhood, the thing is, if you ask 10 people if they're going to heaven, 9 or 10 of those people will tell you they are going to heaven. Now, they could be sitting on a bar stool, and if you ask them if they're going to heaven, they'll tell you they are. And yes, only God knows. But listen, if you ask them, how do you know you're going to heaven? They'll tell you, someone will say, well, I was baptized. Well, that's a good work, okay? But can good works get you to heaven, okay? Well, I never killed anybody. Well, okay, I'm glad, that's a pretty good thing, but can not killing somebody, can that get you into heaven? Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. And of course they don't, nobody does, but suppose that they did. Will keeping the Ten Commandments get them to heaven? Others will say, well, I live by the Sermon on the Mount. Really? Could you quote for me Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7? What do you mean? Well, that's the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, it is? See, listen, if I was going to try and get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments, I'd at least find out what those commandments were. If I thought I was going to have eternal life by living the Sermon on the Mount, I would at least try to locate it in the Bible. people, what they do, they just magpie. They just repeat something that they heard somebody repeat, that they heard somebody repeat. And the bottom line is, people think that God puts your good works on one side of a scale and your bad works on the other side of a scale. And as long as your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll get to go to heaven. But there's a catch, see, even to that system, if it were true. And that is, who decides what works are good and what works are bad? Of course, they do. Okay? If, for example, they like to smoke pot, then by their standard of good and bad, smoking pot is okay, as long as you don't smoke too much. If they like to drink, well, drinking is okay as long as you just don't get falling down in the street drunk. Killing is a bad thing, but wanting to kill somebody, that's okay. You understand what I'm saying? Every man's way is right in his own eyes. And I gave you several scripture references to that fact in your handouts there. And so people who think that they live the Ten Commandments, they believe keeping the Ten Commandments gets you to heaven. People who think you can do anything in this world as long as you don't shoot somebody, they think the way to get to heaven is to not kill somebody. See, there's not a lost person that you ever met that doesn't think they're good enough to go to heaven based upon what they have decided good to be. That's why people stay as far away as they can from from friends, neighbors, relatives, and churches who know something about the Bible, because that wrecks their whole preconceived system of salvation. So let's look at the Bible. Let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And before we find out whether or not we can get to heaven by keeping God's law, let's make sure that God's law was even designed to get a person to heaven. If not, it sure would be a terrible thing to try to get somewhere on a road that didn't lead in that direction. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we'll start in verse number 5. Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" Now, Moses is addressing a certain group of people. He's pointing out to them that God gave them a law that he did not give to anybody else. He is pointing out to them that God gave them a set of judgments that he did not give to anybody else. He's pointing out to them that God gave them a set of rules and regulations to live by that were not given to govern the lives of any other people on the face of the earth. The Israelites were separate. They were special. They were distinct because God had given them this law. Notice also from these verses, this law was given and no reference is made whatsoever to anyone getting to heaven by keeping these rules or regulations. You won't find it in anywhere in the Bible. Now, these rules were given to govern a nation of people when they got to a piece of land that God promised them on this earth. If you're still there in Deuteronomy chapter 4, who was he speaking to? Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess heaven." No, that's not what the Bible says. "That ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." All right, so according to the Bible, not religion, but the Bible, if you keep the Ten Commandments, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are your forefathers, you get a piece of land in Palestine. And if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll die and go to hell after enjoying a few years in the Holy Land. God's law was not given so anybody could live a good enough life to go to heaven. God's law was given so the nation of Israel could enjoy the promised land when God finally brought them there. That's what it was all about. Okay, let's go to the New Testament book of Galatians. And we'll start in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2:15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Okay, who was the law given to? Jews, the nation of Israel, not Gentiles. Okay, that is anybody else. Okay, but even a Jew to whom the law was given knows this much, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Do you know that this evening? Okay. Justified. When the judge sits in the courtroom and hears all the evidence and pronounces not guilty, he has justified. He has declared the righteousness of the accused or of the defendant. Justification. I am going to stand one day at the judgment bar of the Almighty God. Can he hear all the evidence? Can he consider all the facts in the case and pronounce me not guilty, righteous, justified in his sight? Not in your sight. Okay? Not in my neighbor's sight. Not even in my own sight. But in God's sight, can he do that? Well, I know this. I know that if I kept every commandment in God's law, I could not be justified in his sight. If I kept every rule in the Bible, I could not be justified in his sight. If I obeyed every statute and every command in the Bible, I still would not be good enough in God's sight to go to heaven. Watch this, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Who is it? Hi, I'm here from Bible Believers Baptist Church. Just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Well, sure. What is it? Are you saved? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Well, I sure hope so. I sure am trying to do my best. Well, what makes you think that you are going to heaven? Well, I did this, I did this, I did this. And oh, I'd never do that. I didn't do that. I didn't do that other thing. Oh, too bad. You're on your way to hell. A good man, a good neighbor, a good wife, a good son, a good daughter, you're lost. Why? Because the only way to be justified in God's eyes, according to God's Bible, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else leaves you lost. Look at the rest of the verse. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No flesh before Christ. No flesh after the resurrection. No flesh in the tribulation. No flesh in the millennium. No flesh means no flesh. Okay? By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You cannot get to heaven keeping laws. You can't go to heaven keeping commandments. If you could, and I'll show you in a minute, then what a terrible mistake God made when he let his son go to Calvary to die on that cross. If you could have gotten to heaven apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, then why didn't Jesus just come and remind everybody that they needed to be a good boy and a good girl? He went to that cross And he died because there was no other way. Verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. You say, but I know people who say they're saved and they live worse lives than I do. Yeah, but does Jesus Christ live a worse life than you do? Well, I knew a preacher one time, and he ran off with the secretary, and the secretary, she ran off with the money, and the deacon was no good either. So we're not talking about people now, okay? We're not asking you to be justified by trusting people who claim to be justified. So what if you knew a man that said he was a Christian and yet he lived like the devil? We all know people like that. So what if you knew somebody that went to church every single Sunday and as soon as they got home, they did things that you would never dare do? Okay? We all know people like that. But what has that got to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? You cannot point to him and say that he's a hypocrite. You can never point to him and say that he doesn't live it. You can't point to him and say that he made rules for everybody else that he didn't live up to for himself. Verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now watch this. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now here's what the Apostle Paul was directed to write as the Holy Spirit led him. God in heaven loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for your sins that you might have eternal life. And God sends a Christian relative your way who says, oh, won't you trust Jesus? Now, that relative, they didn't come because they wanted to hurt your feelings or accuse you of something or make you angry. But God wanted to save you, so he sent them to plead with you. Oh, won't you trust Jesus? And what do? Immediately you bow up and say, hey, who do you think I am? Who do you think I'm no good? You're judging me. You think I'm some kind of a Satan or something? You think I deserve to go to hell? Who do you think I am anyway? And you know, you do that, you know what you're doing? You're not cussing out a family member, you're frustrating God. God wants to save you freely. He wants to give you eternal life. And you prevent him so that he sends a job mate your way. You go to work, here's this new guy on the job. He's reading his Bible on his lunch hour, talking about Jesus. What do? You make fun of him. You call him names behind his back. You call him a Jesus freak. You put labels on him. You leave dirty pictures and magazines on his workstation. You pour beer in his car so that it smells like he's been out drinking. You're always trying to mess him up. And he says, listen, I'm telling you guys, you just need to get saved. You just need to get right with God. Oh, yeah, who do you think you are? Holy Joe or something? Mr. Jesus freak? You think you're better than we are, don't you? Huh? You're not giving a Christian a hard time. You're frustrating your God. You brag about your good works. You brag about your good deeds. You brag about your christening. Brag about your catechism. Brag about your church membership. And then you walk off like you think you've accomplished something. And all you've accomplished is you've left your only hope of eternal life, standing with outstretched arms, brokenhearted because he wanted to save your soul. And you thought you were too good for God. That's what he says. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Paul says, not me, I gave up my religion. Not me, I gave up my good works, Paul says. Not me, I gave up on my self-confidence, Paul says. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You know what Paul did? He just went one day in his mind's eye and he sat down there at the base of that hill called Mount Calvary. He looked up there and he said, it just doesn't make any sense. If that really is the Son of God, and I can get to heaven by going down to a temple and saying some prayers, well, what's he doing up there on that cross? What's it for? If that really is God manifest in the flesh, and I can get to heaven by not going to a bar or not gambling, why is he hanging on that cross? If you could get to heaven by throwing away cigarettes and stopping your cussing, don't you know that God would have written 66 books, and on every page of the Bible, he would have said, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't smoke, don't cuss. If that would get you to heaven, but it won't. You know what he said, though, on every page of his Bible? You are not good enough. You have got to trust Jesus Christ. That must be the way to heaven. It's all through this book. Here in Galatians, look in chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. All right. Do you want to get to heaven by keeping God's law? Do you want to get to heaven by living a good life? Here's all you've got to do. Keep every law and every commandment, every minute of every day, as long as you live, and you'll not fall under the curse. But if you break one law, one commandment, one time through the course of your entire life, you fall under the curse. You say, but I keep the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down off that mountain, he had the entire law that God gave, okay? Not just the Ten Commandments, he had the entire law. And you know what that law said? In part, that law said that you are not to wear a garment made of mixed fabric. Well, I never killed anybody. Okay, that's good, but is your shirt 50% cotton, 50% polyester? If it is, you're a dead man, okay? You know what the law said? The law said that you're supposed to put a railing around the roof of your house so somebody doesn't fall off and hurt themselves. Do you have one? Well, I never committed adultery. Good, you kept one out of 1,000. Now, what I'm telling you is when somebody says, as long as you're good, you can go to heaven, and if you're bad, you can't go to heaven, they don't know God's definition of good. I mean, God, he gave Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, four long, boring books full of rules and regulations that you have to keep, or you have broken God's commandments. Now, if you've broken God's commandments, you know what you are? You're a commandment breaker. You know, if a man goes out tonight and shoots six people, he's broken the law, right? But hey, if a man goes out there to the Fahil Expressway and he drives his car on that expressway that has a speed limit of 120, if he drives 121, guess what? He's broken the law. They're both lawbreakers. All God is concerned about is whether or not you're a lawbreaker. He's not concerned with what laws you and I have decided are important and what laws you and I have decided are not important. God just simply said, if you break the law, you're a lawbreaker. Let's read some more here. Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man, you see that? No man, that would mean before Christ, after Christ, before the rapture, after the rapture, before the second coming, after the second coming, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. All right, here's a terrible surprise for some people. They get to heaven, they're waiting their turn at the judgment. And mama told them they were all right, but they get there and guess what? Mama isn't the one on the throne. Well, a preacher told them they were all right, but they get there and the preacher's not the one on the throne. A neighbor, a friend told them they were okay, but they got there and that neighbor, that friend, were not on the throne. See, if God is on the throne, and yes, he is, you better make sure that you are there on God's terms. Not on your terms, not on my terms, or anybody else's terms. Because the one on that throne is the one who is going to decide whether you get in or you stay out. And the one on that throne said you cannot be justified in his sight if you do every good work you ever thought of doing. There's only one way that he'll justify you. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Let's say you go to church on Easter Sunday, and the preacher preaches a message like this one I'm preaching. He preaches that salvation is not by works, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You say to the preacher, boy, I sure do feel cheated this morning. I mean, it's Easter Sunday. I came to church for my annual resurrection sermon. Well, time out just a minute. Because did it ever occur to you that you can't resurrect unless you died? Did it ever occur to you that you can't rise from the grave unless you've gone into the grave? Okay, so we can't run to the garden tomb until we've been to Calvary. Now, why did Jesus Christ die on that cross? Certainly not because he was a sinner, because he was not a sinner. You know, it was because I was a sinner. And it was not because he was accursed of God, but because I was accursed of God. He took my place as a cursed sinner so that he might give me his place as righteous in the eyes of God. And that's what that thing is all about. You say, well, I'm good enough. You're saying that if you're saying you're good enough, what you're saying is that Jesus Christ is not good enough. Okay? You say, I've done all that needs to be done. Okay, then you're saying that what Jesus Christ did on that cross was an unnecessary, vain, wasted act. when he died on that cross. Well, I don't believe that. I believe the Son of God died because there was no other way to save my sorry soul. Look at verse 21, Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. Okay, now watch this. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Listen, the law tells living people how to live. It cannot give people life. The speed limit is not for people that will be born 50 years from now. It's for people that are alive. I mean, you just got to think about that. You say, well, I'm going to keep the law and I'm going to get life. God says the law is given to tell living people how to live. It can't give you life. It can't do it. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. The best conclusion that you could come to this evening is the same conclusion that God reaches in the Holy Bible. We're all sinners. The scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Who gets the promise of Jesus Christ? Them that believe. Who gets eternal life? Them that believe. You say, what about those that kept the commandment? Well, God said there's nobody that keeps the commandment. Your only alternative is to miss heaven or believe on Jesus Christ. Those are the only two options you've got. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It's real simple. You've all been to school, okay? The teacher took you in the classroom, and that's what God's word did. God's word takes you in the classroom. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now go out there and do it. You come back the next day. Teacher says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You go out and do it. Did you do your homework yesterday? Oh, yes, I did. Really, you loved your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Well, not all of them. F. You fail. Come back tomorrow. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Go do your homework. Every single day you come to school, if you listen to God, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, it's the same lesson. God is good. You are not. God is righteous. You're not righteous. God is holy. You're not holy. Every single time you try to measure up to God's standard, you get an F on your report card. Why? Because the Lord, he's trying to bring us to the place where we realize I either cast myself on his mercy or I'm doomed. That's what it's all about. All right, let's turn to Romans chapter number 3. Romans 3. Romans chapter number 3. The Bible says that the law taught guilt. The Bible says that the law defined sin. Just look at that whole chapter of 7 of Romans. The Bible says that the law strengthens sin in 1 Corinthians 15. But look at Romans 3, verse number 20. And before we read that, did you notice I have not said one word tonight about joining a church or getting baptized or giving the money, any of that stuff? Because this is not about being a member of some church. This is about being born again so that you can go to heaven. Romans 3, verse 19. We'll back up to 19. Now we know. Okay, so here's something else we know. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And so do you know why people don't read the Bible? That's why, right there. Because if a man honestly reads the Bible, he finds out that he is guilty before God. And you know why people don't go to a church where the Bible is preached and the Bible is taught? That verse right there. They don't want to find out that they're guilty before God. That's why TV preachers, you watch them, they never touch this stuff. They'll talk about feeling good and dancing with Barney and sending in your money and I saw Mary in the sky and all that kind of stuff, but they never touch these essential truths. Now, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh. There it is again. No flesh. No flesh since Adam. There shall no flesh. No flesh after the rapture. There shall no flesh. No flesh in the millennium. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Okay, do you see that? If you read the law, you'll find out. If you read the prophets, you'll find out that there is a righteousness that one may obtain without keeping the law. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You want to get to heaven? You better quit talking about what you've done. You want to get to heaven? You better quit leaning on what you have not done. You better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you'll never get there. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So here's the picture. You get up to heaven. You see somebody you know. Wow, how'd you get up here? Oh, I'll tell you how I got here. Baptized, yes, sir, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I'm surprised you got here. I got here by being baptized in the name of Jesus only. Yes, sir, we had the apostolic blessing on our baptism. Well, good, that's fine. You brag about your baptism. You brag about your, whatever. So somebody else steps up, says, well, I don't remember what they said. But bless God, I was 12 years old. And man, that fellow sprinkled me right here. Got me right in the middle of the forehead. Another fellow stands up and he says, What? 12 years old? What were you waiting for? They sprinkled me when I was 8 days old. And everybody up there in heaven, they're just bragging on what good deeds they did to get in. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. And the Bible does not teach that. That boasting is excluded by faith. Listen, you can go to the church downtown, you can get sprinkled, you can go to another church and get dipped, you can go to another church down the road and get immersed, then go to a different church and get poured, and then the brethren will dunk you 3 times forward or 2 times backwards, or hold you up by your heels and keep putting you in and out till you drown. But I'm telling you something, if you think that water is going to get you to heaven, you're wrong. You're not going to knock on the door of heaven and wave your donation receipt and expect to get in. You're not going to get to heaven and count on some kind of a background check to show that you've never been in jail. Nobody in heaven is going to brag on anybody but Jesus Christ. Nobody in heaven is going to give honor and glory to anything that they have done for the Lord. They'll all be giving glory to the Lord who did everything for them. Boasting is excluded. Verse 28, therefore we conclude, and this is our conclusion. You can draw your own conclusion if you like, but we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Say, preacher, it doesn't matter how I live. Okay, no, it doesn't. You can be the worst sinner in town, and if you trust Jesus Christ, he'll save you. So I think that it does matter how I live, okay? But you can be the best person in town. But if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to hell. Well, if I believed that, I'd just live like the devil. Hey, if that's what you say, you're living how you want to live anyway. Don't tell me that my preaching the gospel is going to change the way you live. Saved people that go to church and live however they want to live, and lost people who go to church and live however they want to live. You got them both in the church. What you believe about the gospel isn't going to change that. Okay. But I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ moves in, he'll change your life. He'll change the way you live. And until Jesus Christ moves in, nothing's going to change your life. Well, hallelujah. All right, let's make 2 more quick stops here in the Bible. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 38. Acts 13:38. Here's a great declaration. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. There are people that sit through a message like this, and they say, I just don't believe it could be that simple. I just don't believe that all my good works, all those good works I've done all my life, you telling me they account for nothing? I just don't believe that trusting Jesus is all I need to do to get to heaven. God said you'll perish. If you don't believe the gospel message declared unto you that only through the blood of Jesus Christ can get you to heaven, you will die in your sins. Now, I haven't given you one word of Bible Believers Baptist Church dogma today. Everything I've said, I showed you right from the Bible. And so your argument, if you have one, it's not with me. Last stop, book of Hebrews. Hebrews. And we'll start in chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And verse number 11. Hebrews 7, 11. 7, 11. Bible says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Okay, so he's talking about Jesus Christ. It, again, it's the same argument we already saw. The argument is simply this. If the law of the Old Testament could save your soul, why did God bother sending Jesus into the world? Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Okay? The law, carnal, flesh, body. Okay, the law was given to govern your life on earth. It has nothing to do with giving you everlasting life in heaven. Verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Okay, so he's speaking of something better than the law, speaking of Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Just going through these quickly. You can study them more in depth if you like on your own. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9, speaking now about that holy temple where the altar was, where the sacrifices were made, all that has to do with that the God-ordained religion. The Bible says in verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So bring every sacrifice under the Old Testament law and don't trust Jesus Christ, you're lost. Keep every commandment in the Old Testament law, but don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're undone. Look at chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, Old Testament age, church age, tribulation time, millennial kingdom. The law can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is, not it was, but it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Let's say that on my right hand, I have all the good deeds ever done by all of the good deed doers. I have every commandment kept by everyone who ever kept a commandment. And on my left hand, I have one sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. All right, well, God said, if you did all the good deeds that a man could do, you will die in your sins and burn in hell. God said, if you have his son and the blood that he shed at Calvary, you have eternal life and a home in heaven forever. Now, maybe you don't like that, but I'm telling you, it's not subject to change. Maybe you don't agree with that. It's not up for a vote. God's word, God's Bible, God's truth declares that good works mean good lives on the good earth. But those good works cannot save your soul. Christ's death on the old rugged cross paid for your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you know, Hebrews 10 really pins us to the wall when it points out that no matter how many times you come and do those good works that you think are going to get you to heaven, you still know in the depths of your conscience something is not what it should be. But if you ever come and you put your trust fully and completely in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have some troubles on the outside, but you'll never be troubled in that conscience ever again. The precious blood of Jesus Christ is God's one and only acceptable sacrifice for the payment of your sins. Now, if you were listening, you know that I haven't been sharing my religion with you. I showed you the Bible. So I hope you'll be honest enough and search your heart and find out, do I meet God's requirement for heaven? And if not, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. When I'm burning in a hellfire that God tried to save me from, I'm going to kick myself a million times if I let anyone or anything keep me from abandoning my religion, my good works, and my self-righteousness and trusting only in Jesus Christ to take me to heaven when I die. Because he wants to save you and give you everlasting life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you made it so very clear that that law could not make us righteous. That law could not save us or give us everlasting life. But we thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross, to take our place and be the curse for us and give us his righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that you did that for us so that we can put our faith and trust in him and know for sure that we're going to heaven when we die. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we can see you, we can leave this old earth and be with you face to face. But in the meantime, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to give this good news, the message tonight, that to those that we know, the family members and co-workers and neighbors, everyone that we see, Lord, help us not to waste the life that you've given us, but to be telling people about our wonderful Savior and their need of that wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.